Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and the inspiration of your Holy Word, by which you instruct us in the true faith and in the true path of righteousness, which leads to the cross of our Redeemer. We pray again tonight that you would instruct our hearts and comfort us with the marvelous grace that we find in this crucified Lord. We ask it all in his saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's grace and his kindness and compassion are yours, to be found alone in this Savior. Amen. Back in the 1970s, on this campus, there was a seminary student who had terminal cancer. And he was helping also do some work and serving at a local church in the area. And during one of his treatments, he was in the hospital wing right here across the street. And another man was brought into the very room where he was staying, and they put this man in the bed next to him. And the man started to talk to him and could tell he was kind of a street person, somebody that was living in a lot of poverty and had a pretty rough and tough life, was missing some teeth, pretty rugged looking character. And they sat and talked well into the night, and they got onto the subject of religion. And this young seminary student just started talking to him about his faith and the way to get to heaven, and telling him Bible passages that he knew and so on. And finally it got late at night, so they turned in and went to bed. And the next morning, the seminary student woke up and turned and looked over, and the man was gone. In fact, there were nurses taking the bedding off of the bed. And he said, "What happened to my roommate?" They said, "He died last night. He died last night." That seminary student used to say to us, "That was my thief on the cross. That was my thief on the cross." Somebody who in his dying moments got to hear the gospel. And he used to wonder, "I wonder if I'm going to get to see that man in heaven someday." When it comes to studying theology and religion, you can get a lot of degrees and you can go a lot of places and sit at the feet of a lot of great scholars. But of all places, the Holy Spirit takes you and me tonight to the foot of a criminal who's being executed. If this happened in our day and age, just think where this would be taking place. Where God takes us to teach us religion, to teach us the essence of the Christian faith, at the foot of this criminal's executioning cross. And when we look at him and study him in Scripture, we can learn here how to approach God. How to come before God. Notice that he doesn't come before Jesus in any arrogance. He doesn't expect anything. He doesn't demand anything. He doesn't come boasting. He doesn't come with any promises of things that he could maybe do in the future. Obviously, his life's coming to an end. There's no attempt to bargain with God in any way. There is no possibility for him to promise that he's going to maybe now amend his life. The only thing that he can do is rely on the pure mercy of this man hanging next to him, his Lord. And through this humble approach, he comes to his Lord with this compassionate plea, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Martin Luther says this about this man's cry to Christ: "God wants you to pray and to be heard because of his mercy, not because of your worthiness." God wants you to come before him based on his mercy. And you can tell throughout Scripture that this is exactly how our Lord Jesus loves to be approached. This is the method that he wants us to learn of how to come before him. Think of all the incidents in Scripture in the Gospels. The woman crying at his feet. Peter, who is overwhelmed by the great catch of fish and drops before Christ, "Get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Think about the woman who was caught in adultery, about to be stoned. The Bible says this, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." That's religion for us. That's where the Holy Spirit would take us to teach us theology. This thief on the cross has the highest doctorate you can get. "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." We have this kind of ironic juxtaposition that's taking place in this text right before us. Think about it. At the foot of the cross are Jesus' accusers, many of them Pharisees, the very highly religious and moral people, the people that filled pews and churches and synagogues just like we do today, the people that cared about the Word of God, that stood up for morality, that wanted to make sure that the things of God's Word were right and true and permeated society. The religious people of their day, the morally upright people of their day, and yet so many of them thought that it was because of that they could approach God. And Jesus has called down curses on them and even damns them to hell for their self-righteousness. And here hanging next to him is this criminal, so wicked and evil society has to get rid of him. And yet in his dying moments, he is sorry for his sin and he pleads to Christ. And he is promised paradise. He is the one that is promised heaven. There's an invisible transfer going on here that takes place in heaven. And the invisible transfer is this. There's a crossing of lines of divine justice. The sins of this man have now drifted over and made their way onto the shoulders of the Son of God. And the holy, perfect righteousness of that Son of God who is being crucified for no good reason, his holiness and perfection before his Father has drifted over and landed onto this wicked criminal. And through faith, he possesses that righteousness, that holiness before God, and he is treated like a saint worthy of heaven. Remember the story in the Old Testament, the story of the Passover, and how when the children of Israel were in slavery and captivity and God was going to free them, and he sent He sent the command to Moses to tell the people to go and pick out a lamb and to sacrifice and slaughter that lamb. How many people watched the butchering of that animal right in front of them and then watched the blood of it be painted on their doorpost and didn't maybe think about right away the great transfer that was taking place, the life of that animal that they were watching die so that they could live. What a picture of our Lord Jesus for this thief on the cross as he's hanging right next to the butchering that's going on of God's own Son for his sins and ours. And here he is watching that happen so that he could now live forever in paradise. Notice how thorough this transfer is that God is making to this thief on the cross. Notice how gently Jesus speaks to him when he approaches him based only on his mercy. Let's think about what we don't hear from Jesus' lips. We don't hear him bringing up this man's past life. We don't hear him list off some of the reasons maybe he shouldn't make it into paradise. We don't hear Jesus try to bargain with him and try to come up with a new set of demands. We don't see Jesus ignoring this man at all. There's no pause in Jesus' voice to maybe think about this and to consider this. There's no hesitation. There's no uncertainty in his voice. He just responds, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You see, whenever someone comes before God based only on God's mercy, God is there immediately with his grace. He doesn't waste any time. I used to have a health professor that taught on this campus years ago when I was a student here. He taught like all the different tourniquets and things that you could do in case there was ever an incident where you were in an accident or something. And he told the story in class one day that just a few days earlier he had been in a mall and somebody had run through a plate glass window and shattered it, and he heard it and was nearby. And he was mad at himself, he said, "because I froze. I knew all of this of what to do, but I froze." He said, "You could tell I did not have the calling to be a doctor because I didn't have that response." He said a doctor would have just run out there no matter what to help and take care of that individual. Our Lord Jesus, when he senses somebody is wallowing in their sins and sorrowful in their guilt and is seeking his mercy, he does not waste any time. He immediately, like a doctor, has to run and rescue that individual. And if you look throughout Scripture, you will see that that is consistently the case. Whenever someone comes before God, as soon as they repent, he is right there with his mercy and his compassion and his forgiveness. What a sweet promise. Today you will be with me in paradise. You know, God the Holy Spirit could have left this story out of the Bible. There were probably a lot of incidents we don't hear about in Jesus' ministry. Why did he pick this one? Well, you know why he picked this one? Because you and I are just like that thief. We're just as guilty as sin. We have reasons in our own conscience and mind. Right now in your own heart, down deep inside of you, just like in me, there's stuff that we can think about just like that that makes us wonder whether or not we'll ever get to go to heaven. There's stuff that makes us realize if God were to judge me and to look down into me, down into the deepest part of me, there are stains inside of me that seem so deep, and there are sins that I have been committing so often that it's hard to imagine God could ever forgive that. We are just as wicked and sinful as this thief. And yet our Lord Jesus comes and forgives us too. And he holds the story before us in his word so that every one of us, no matter who you are, no matter how wicked you've been, no matter how frequent your sin has been, no matter how much everybody else in this room might judge you if they knew the reality of who you are, that doesn't matter to God. Because of what Christ has come to do and to pay for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not just some of them. Not just the ones that everybody can bring up, but the one that's bugging your conscience the most right now. All sin. Wouldn't it have been great to have had to have Jesus in your life to actually personally come up to you and tell you, tomorrow or today you're going to be in heaven with me? How reassuring that would be. He has chosen for some reason not to stick around and do that. But he has given us instead his means of grace, his word and sacrament. And he tells us that when we come and hear that word of absolution and when we receive our Lord's Supper, we should be just as sure of his forgiveness and just as sure of his promise of paradise through that as if he himself was standing there in front of us. Even if it's coming through a sweaty, stinky little sinful preacher like me, you will be with him in paradise. Cling to that Lord and cling to his gracious promises to you that are just as sure to you as they were to that thief. Amen.